You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Hey, good to have you. Good to have all y'all here, man. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Did you? Good. Yeah, here's some cheers, some shout outs. That's great. I had a wonderful week. The politically correct way of saying this is that we harvested a deer this week, right? Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Tyne killed one, and he never found it until we got to Middletown, and it was back in West Virginia, the other guy. So I'm sure if you asked Tyne, he would love to tell you his deer story, right? So he's walking around with a camouflage hat and a camouflage coat, and so he would be honored to share that story with you. And then you know, we have Thanksgiving at my mom and dad's, and which they're here today. Give them a big hand, would you? My mom and dad, I love them. And my brother Ronnie, and my mom and dad are, we have Thanksgiving there, and then we have Thanksgiving at Best Parents in Columbus, and then yesterday, oh man, what happened yesterday? There was something happened yesterday. What was it? Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's right. It was a football game, right? There was a football game yesterday, right? And some of you, I just want to make one thing clear, right? Not one person better ask me if I am prayed up this morning, because between 12 and 4 yesterday afternoon, I had some serious focused prayer time. Right on? Yeah, I really did. So now, Coach Jim, maybe he should spend a little more time in prayer, right? I'm sorry, guys. It's just fun, man, you know? It's just fun. I know we got some Michigan people in the house on Facebook. I got some people stirred up, and it was wonderful, man. It was great. My spirit of antagonism, can you feel it, Chris? Pray it down. Lord, help me. What's that? It's alive and well. I'm sorry. So, anyways, but I just want to say, you know, it's hard to watch a game or watch a TV show. It's hard to watch without seeing this commercial, and I'm sure you all have seen it. Ancestry.com. Have you seen the commercial? Some of you, have anyone ever participated in Ancestry.com? Is that right, Sarah? I think when you get older, the older you get, you know, the more curious you are, right? And so doing a little research and kind of looking at it and what it is, evidently, you send in your DNA. You send in your saliva, believe it or not, and they take your spit, and they begin to process that and work with that, and they begin to help you kind of fill in, and establish your family. It's crazy. I don't understand it, but it's the way it works, right? This world is nuts. But people are doing it. They're doing it all over, right? So this Ancestry.com is really, really catching on, and people want to know. They want to know their background. They want to know their lineage. They want to know their story. And the older I get, I can say the same. I really do. It's interesting. It's intriguing to me. There was this family, the Smith family. They were really proud. I found this story. I just want to share it with you. It's real quick. They were really proud of their family tradition. And their ancestors had come to America on the Mayflower. And their line had included senators and Wall Street wizards. I mean, these folks were blue bloods, right? And now they decided to compile a family history, a legacy for their children. And they hired a fine author. And this author, you know, he began to tap in. But the one problem that came out was how to handle their great uncle. Everyone has an uncle. You know what I'm saying? But their great uncle, who was executed in the electric chair, right? And so the author relieved them. He said, I can handle this. I can get this in there in a way that will be, you know, historically tactful, you know, and it won't mess up, you know, what you hope to share with your family. And so the book appeared. And here's how the chapter was written about their great uncle. It said, Great Uncle George occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important government institution, was attached to his position by the strongest of ties, and his death came as a real shock. Imagine that, right? So, but in all truthfulness, you know, we're all interested in our ancestry, our lineage, you know, and I can tell you that my grandfather, Frank Killen, his grandfather, homesteaded New Boston. Now, it wasn't called New Boston then. It was called Stuartville. And I remember Poppy K used to sit at Thanksgiving, and he would tell all these stories and tell stories about his, you know, his family and his heritage and how big of a mess it was, right? And all of us have a messy history and a messy, but Pop would tell, share his story, right? And yes, my great-great-grandfather was, you know, a man of prominence, a mayor. You didn't know I was a blue blood, did you? I'm a blue blood, really. But before it was called New Boston, it was called Stuartville. And so my great-great-grandfather was voted in as mayor, and he was the only mayor in the state of Ohio that I know of that was impeached. He was impeached. He was impeached because he got caught sleeping with the town drunk's wife. Pretty crazy, isn't it? It's the truth. And matter of fact, I never believed it until Poppy K pulled out. My mom's here. She'll test this. When he passed, we found articles in the New Boston newspaper. They would talk about, you know, this Stuart. And so this great grandpa. So here's what's interesting. The town changed the name then from Stuartville to New Boston. So if you go to Portsmouth, Ohio, and you drive through New Boston, you know, you will see New Ball. You'll drive by, drive through it. It's a quick little drive right in the middle of Portsmouth. There's this little city, this little town. It used to be called Stuartville. So that's part of my heritage. Isn't that crazy? As we gear up for the holidays, what's interesting is you get real close to family and you begin hearing your family stories and you begin seeing just kind of how dysfunctional and messed up. You know, a lot of our, now some of you may not want to admit it, but it's true. We all have crazy stuff in our line, do we not? Messy stuff. Your lineage tells a story. And we may struggle really finding God's presence in our ancestry.com, but maybe what we're dealing with today leaves you to wonder, how in the world can God ever show up in this mess, right? And so maybe today you're listening online or you're on Facebook and live stream, which we do this every week, by the way, Shelter Live, the Facebook live stream, and then our Shelter podcast. Maybe not just here, but maybe listening. You know, you're sitting here and you're looking at your story, and your story, your line may be messy, and there may be struggles. And there may be things that you're going with, and you scratch your head, and right now even you're sitting here wondering, where is Jesus in any of this? So that's what today is about. And I say that because here's what's interesting. In the first gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1, we begin to see Jesus's ancestry.com. We see it. And this is what we see. And I want to share this with you. This is made up of 46 people whose lifetime span over 2,000 years. And this is, I've never done this in church before, so you'll have to help me. And Tyne, on the way to church, I was reading through this because it's, you're going to see what I'm talking about. It's difficult to pronounce some of these names. And Tyne was helping me, correcting me on some of these words that he learns in Awana. But anyways, I'm going to read it, and I want you to just hang with me. There's 17 verses. Here we go. All right, Matthew chapter 1, 1 through 17. This is the record of the ancestors of Jesus, the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose name was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the father of Abijah. Abijah was the father of Asa. I'm reading this on the way to church, and Titus is like, Dad, that sounds like a rap. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Jerem. Jerem was the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham was the father. He was the father of Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Ammon. Ammon was the father of Josiah. Josiah was the father of, this is the one I had a lot of problems with, Jehoiakim, Tyne says, and his brothers, born at that time of exile to Babylon, after the Babylon exile, Jehoiakim was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abiud. Abiud was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azar. Azar was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Achim. Achim was the father of Eliud. Almost done. Eliud was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar was the father of Mathan. Mathan was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who called the Messiah. Praise God. Verse 17, all those listed above included 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to Babylon exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. It's powerful stuff when you begin to dig into that ancestry, dig into that line, and you look more into it. Look, King James, the King James Version, it uses this word, beget or begot, which means bring forth, usually pertaining to offspring. So when you read through this in the King James, it's like Eliad begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan. Mathan begot Jacob, right? This whole beget thing. And what I want to say to you, and kind of the main theme of today as we begin this new series on presence, is this. Presence begets presence. I want you to think about that. The presence of God's grace brings forth God's presence in our lives. The truth is that God had a plan in all of this. And we could spend 46 weeks this upcoming year and break down every one of those people in the lineage of Jesus going back 2,000 years prior to the birth of Christ. And we could show you their story and we could show you their struggle. Every one of these people, it was but by God's grace that they are in the lineage of Jesus. And so today, I can't cover 46. You guys would kill me because the Bengals come on at 1, I think. But what I can do is go through 7 really quick. And I want you to look at this, because if you can grab a hold of this, I believe that it will give you hope in the struggle and in the situation, in the messed up craziness, chaotic, confusing, contorted tree that you're a part of. It can give you hope through it. Hope in it. Hope right where you're at in the messed up situation that you're in. Because the truth is when I see and read this passage of Scripture, the first thing is where's Jesus in any of that, right? And then I begin to study some of these names and I'm like, really, where is Jesus in any of that? And here's what I think. I think the situations that we find ourselves in, we ask ourselves more times than not, God, where are you in this? Where are you with what I'm struggling with? Where are you with what I'm with what life has brought my way? And as a matter of fact, it's only, and I want to share this, it's only by the grace of God that He would be present in the crazy, contorted, complex, coiled family tree that we just read. And so, let me just share with you real quick. Six or seven. Abraham. Many may know who Abraham is. Maybe many may not. But here's the truth. God promised Abraham and his wife Sarah a son and seed that would multiply as is the stars of the sky. And for years and years and years and years, these people waited. Abraham and Sarah waited. They waited on a son. They waited on the promise of God. How many here know of the kind of challenge it is to wait? These people waited for God to answer their prayer. And finally, when Abraham was in his 80s and Sarah was in her 70s, just before that, God shows up and he says, you are now going to have a son. And Sarah laughed. And God says, is a rhetorical question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And God showing up in his prevenient grace, in the grace that comes before God showing up, God then made his presence known and felt, and they were able to experience the birth of a son while Abraham was in his 80s and Sarah was in her 70s. Powerful stuff. There was a struggle. Their struggle seeing God in all of that for such a long period of time. And then we move on down and you look at this. How God's grace showed up in the life of Solomon. Oh, man. Solomon. Come on, folks. You read Solomon. Solomon is a part of the lineage of Jesus. And in that lineage, Solomon was begot by David. He was David, King David's offspring. But do you know who Solomon's mother was? Her name wasn't mentioned. She was the wife of Uriah. Now think of that. Uriah is mentioned here. Solomon's dad, the king, killed Uriah after he had an affair with Solomon's mother, Bathsheba. And Solomon is mentioned as the offspring of that crazy, contorted mess. Man, where's Jesus in any of that? Presence begets presence. The presence of God's grace brings forth God's presence in their lives. And we skip on down and we find Uzziah. Uzziah was a king. He reigned longer than any other king in Israel, 50 plus years. And it was said to be the longest of any before or after his time. But Uzziah loved God until he became very prideful. Uzziah is no different than you or I, you know? There are times in our life when we step outside of God's will, we step outside of God's shelter, we get ahead of God, we act in our own pride and in our own ignorance, and this is what happened. Uzziah stepping outside of God's will and stepping outside of God's covering extracted leprosy. Can you think of it? Now I want you to hear me on this. A leper In Uzziah's day was very, very unclean. These people were held in isolation. They were separated from others. And they were looked at as unclean. They had to watch what they touched. And no one could touch what they touched. And they were in isolation, separated, cut off from everyone else. Looked at as unclean. I think there's many of us at times feel unclean. Feel like what we've done, we are undeserving of God's forgiveness. We are dirty or unclean or not right. Can you think of it? Uzziah in the line of Christ. I'm sure Uzziah scratched his head many times and wondered, is God in any of this? And then you move on down and you see Ruth. In every generation and in every name that's called, there is a struggle with every name. And Ruth was certainly no exception. Ruth was a widow. Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi. They didn't just not have a dime, but they didn't have a home. They were in refuge. They could really be considered as homeless. Ruth was very, very, I mean, extremely, in the poverty and the situation that she was in was extremely difficult. Their plight was filled at times with hopelessness. But they kept the faith and God led them to do some incredible things. But in the midst of Ruth's struggle, can't you hear Ruth? wondering and asking, where in the world is God in this? And then you get to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, by many accounts, he was, I didn't know this. This is different. This was, I found this in a commentary. Zerubbabel was said to be adopted. He was adopted. Adopted into the line of Christ, into the ancestry of the Messiah. And Zerubbabel, being adopted, he had incredible favor and was permitted to lead the Hebrews back to the promised land to build the temple that was torn down. And get this, Zerubbabel faced some very difficult times. People, the people that he was leading, and there was somewhat of an uprising, and they begin to turn against him. And in like year 3, 4, and 5, Zerubbabel faced such pushback. Things became extremely dark, and Zerubbabel fell into a deep depression. And the scriptures talk about how, because of the people's disgruntledness, how at times Zerubbabel was just hopeless and incredibly depressed. Can you think of it? I mean, here in the line of Christ, Jesus' ancestry, you see a man who was not just adopted, but my goodness, went through severe emotional discouragement. And then, lastly, you get to Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. Now, I know a lot of times we skip over this, but I want you to really put yourself in Joseph's shoes. All right? The confusion that Joseph experienced when his fiance turns up pregnant, and he had not had any relations with her. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes things just don't add up, do they? For Joseph, this was a struggle. It didn't make sense. Maybe in your life, in things that you're dealing with, things just don't add up, or things just don't make sense. Life becomes very confusing, and you scratch your head and you ask yourself, where is Jesus in any of this? I think it's cool to, just on a side note, mention, and this message was not really aimed at, you know, adoption, but this was cool in that when you look at Joseph, and I never saw it this way before, but in some sense, Joseph, not being Jesus' biological father, you see Joseph taking Jesus in as his own, adopting Jesus. And again, this message was not intended to be about adoption, but it does relate to how God shows up in people's lives. It shows up and gives evidence of that grace that comes before, that prevenient grace. And you know what? Maybe in looking deeper into this, and I think that, well, let me just share this. Perhaps it wasn't Joseph that adopted, but it was Joseph that was adopted to be a part, invited to be a part of the lineage of Christ. I think that that's where you and I come in. In our mess, in our confusion, in our struggles, in the line that we have, we all have an ancestry, we all have a story. And in that story, and in that confusion, and in that mess, I believe this, that God gives us an opportunity to be a part of something bigger, something greater, something that redeems, something that changes things, something that reveals and allows Jesus to show up. In these scriptures, God was showing himself all alone. His grace comes before we notice it a lot of times. In your situation, with whatever you're going through, with whatever your story is, I want to make this promise to you. And I stand on Scripture, and I promise you this. I will stake the very job that I have, I will stake my faith on this, is that whatever you're dealing with, God is present. God is here. He's with you. You being in this sea, in these seats this morning, is not by mistake. It's God's grace coming before so that you can hear a message of hope, a message of redemption, a message where God wants to be present in your life. This was Jesus' ancestry, and I relate to this. In my story right now, there are some things that don't quite add up. And I struggle too, looking for God to reveal himself. And all I know is that there are times when it feels there is no trace of God's presence. And I believe that this is one of the uncovered mysteries that we see here in Jesus' lineage. Matthew is not just trying to set the record straight for the Jews in proving that prophetically Jesus, we know him to be the Son of God, but I believe Matthew is trying to make it very clear to his Jewish family and friends that it does add up prophetically. But I believe he was also trying to send another message too. And that other message was to us. To those of us that have a really messed up situation. That if God can be birthed, if Jesus himself can be birthed from his mess, Jesus can be birthed in yours. What if God is already present and you cannot see him? What if even now he is working in ways we cannot see, but one day soon will be fully revealed? These people had no idea what was coming after them. They had no idea that they were going to be in the line of Christ. They had no idea that the Messiah, to have that kind of, you know, honor, to be listed in the Gospels as a forerunner to the Messiah. Let me tell you this. You have that same opportunity to be in the line of Christ. God, folks, God is present. It doesn't matter what your deal is. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you're going through, how messy your stuff is. God is present. His prevailing, prevenient grace is present. Look, Frank Killen, my mother's father, who we affectionately knew as Poppy K, was not my mother's biological dad. I didn't know my mom was going to be here today. But she'll tell you, her bio father, who I never met, was, and don't take this the wrong way, I really don't need healing when I say this, but it's just the truth. He was a deadbeat dad that died, and, you know, he passed. And the truth is that he was probably consumed with his own generational curses, and he didn't know any better. But that's when Poppy K came into my grandmother and my mother's life. And he made a difference. He adopted my mother and he took her in as his own. Never would have anyone known a difference between my mother and her brother Keith and her sister Connie. God showed up. God showed up and was present, even though I'm sure if you call my mom aside after church and you ask her, she would tell you that I'm sure early on she did not see God in any of that. But that's my lineage. That's my lineage. God showed up and was present, even though I am sure it was a struggle to see God in that confusion. And now, Beth and I, we have these three boys. Man, I love my boys. My boys are, I'm sorry to brag, but my boys are wonderful boys. Now, if you're a children's worker and you're over there, cut me a little bit of slack, you know. They're a little high strung. But I love my boys. And my little Ella baby, Ella, You know, 1 year ago, this past Thanksgiving, Ella came into our home as a two-year-old little baby, a three-year-old little girl, and she has brought such joy. And perhaps, Poppy K, having adopted my mother made it more natural for me to go along with Beth in bringing in to our line Ella. I know this, that she has gone to not having a mom and dad to now having a mom and dad, and now being a part being a part of our lineage. Or could it be that God gives us an opportunity to be a part of her lineage? I know this. I'm almost done. But the judge, so we all, our whole family's there, and we go into the courtroom, and the judge, right before, you know, she's asking Beth questions. She asked me some questions, but I remember the two questions that she asked. And the first question was, number one, are you going to learn how to treat her hair? You know, because her hair is different, folks. You know, it is not Caucasian white hair, if you know what I'm saying. And the second question was, will you give her a full part of your, you know, will she be a full part or an heir? Meaning, will you give her the same inheritance that you plan on giving your boys? Those are the things that they ask. And the judge then granted us the awesome joy of having her a part of our family. And so I say to Ella, Ella, what did the judge say? And she does this, right? Ella is daddy's girl. That's what she says. It's a wonderful thing, folks. It's a beautiful thing. The presence of God's grace brings forth God's presence in our lives. And you see it. Look, I promise you this. If you open yourself up to the prevenient, to the grace of God is already here in front of you. When you receive that grace into your heart and life, man, something is birthed out of that. And I almost wonder if at times it's, you know, you give birth in pain and, you know, in struggle. But in that and through that, what we see is Jesus came to be. And just as he came to be in his line, he comes to be in ours. He's here to be in your line. Praise God. I have found that accepting God's grace into my life, it helps me to bring forth his presence, God's presence in someone else's life. And you begin to see this thing unfold. And I can't wait one day when I'm gone, when the Lord calls me home, to be able to see how this massive ancestry thing all shakes out. Because I would imagine there's going to be story of redemption after story of redemption, of how God showed up time and time again in the midst of all of our human struggle. Let's all stand, can't we? Father God, we thank you so much for your presence. How you don't leave us here hanging. God, you don't leave us here and abandon us. God, you show up. And your grace shows up. Even before that grace is fully realized or fully revealed, it shows up in our hearts and it shows up in our lives. And God, right now, I believe that right now, people sitting at home watching Facebook on this live stream and people listening to the podcast and people that are here this morning, I believe this. I believe that there are many that have tried to make sense of the mess that they have come to know and understand. And I believe that there's struggle. And I believe that there's pain. And I believe that there's heartbreak and there's hurt. And I believe that there's dark times. Lord, I thank you for the scripture that points to you. It all comes out. You come out of all of that, as Matthew describes. May it be true in the lives of those that are here. If you're struggling and you're dealing with something, just bow your heads and pray with me if you would. And I want to ask you this question. If you're struggling and you're here this morning and you need God to be present in your life, you need to make sense of what you're dealing with, what you're going through. You just need to see that God is there. Would you just raise your hand right where you're at? See those hands. See those hands. And in your situations, I want to ask everyone, are you willing, who is willing this morning to open up their life to allow God's grace to come in? That's you. Just raise your hand. I see those hands. Praise God. I see those hands all over. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we invite you in. We invite you into our mess. We know you, Lord, I know that you want to come into our mess. You want us to see you come through. You want to help. You want us to know that you want to come through it with us and that you want to reveal yourself in the midst of our struggle. So, Father, those of you that and those of, the, of you that are here, just pray with me. Father, I open up my heart and life to you right now. I open up my heart and receive your grace that comes before. Comes before me even realizing it. I receive it right now. Lord, I accept it. I receive it. And I ask you to be present with me. And I pray you would forgive me for what I've done. Because we all have played a part in the mess, right? For what I've done to cause the mess. Father, forgive me. Save me. Help me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Right on and right on, right? Praise the Lord. We got about 4 or 5 more weeks of this. What is it? I think 5 weeks of Advent left in this present series. Man, come back, bring a friend, and man, let's just see God show up in what we're doing. Right on? Have a great week.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.